Okay, good morning. My name is Maurizio Latini and I'm working for ECMWF. And I'm going to talk about the European Flood Awareness System. First of all, some minor information about ECMWF. We are an independent intergovernmental organization established in 1975 with 22 member states and 12 cooperating states. The ECMWF is turned 40 in 2015, has more than 288 employees and collaboration with a lot of research institutes, and it provides a lot of more than 40 million observation analyzed every day. Within the ECMWF, we are hosting Copernicus Emergency Management Services. Within the Copernicus Emergency Management Services, we are running the IFAS, which is a part of the Copernicus program for the flood monitoring all over Europe. Why IFAS? Because within Europe, the most severe flooding are transboundaries. So sometimes these flooding events are leading to incoherent decisions between neighborhood states. So at the beginning, the European Commission decided to have this transboundary operational system to help the member states to have better information about ongoing floodings. This is it was the idea behind IFAS, which is the first European operational monitoring system and can send out early warning notification up to 10 days in advance. Plus, it sends out to the partners and the European Emergency Response Coordination Center a daily overview about the flooding situation all over Europe. So as I said, it's a probabilistic system. It's operational, so it means that it runs 24/7, 365 days a year. It produces twice a day forecast, one at 00, the other one at 12, and has more than 60 registered partners. And this partner receive observation, sometimes flood notifications, and can give back to us feedback on the performances of the system. The IFAS itself is a consortium, so it is composed from different research and operational centers. We are ECMWF, we are part of the computational center, so it means that we are executing the forecast and we are running the information system. There is the dissemination center, which is formed by the SMHI, the Swedish Meteorological Institute, the Rijkswaterstaat in Netherlands, and the Slovak Hydrological Meteorological Institute. And this dissemination center is analyzing the information that IFAS is providing and then decide if to send out or not a flood notification. Then we have a consortium for the Hydrological Collection Center, which is in Spain. So we have the, and they are collecting historical and real-time river discharge. And we have a Meteorological Data Collection Center, which is based in Germany, which collect real-time meteorological data across Europe. In IFAS, we have three types of users. We have the anonymous users that can access non-real-time data. It means forecasts that are older than 30 days, and they have access to limited amount of information. Then we have the registered users, which are not forecast, that can access all the real-time data and information, but they cannot receive or issue notification. Then we have the registered users and the forecasted users. They have access to all the IFAS infrastructure and they can send out notifications. So this is the more or less the IFAS architecture for the web part, in which we receive the forecast. We store the forecast in GIS databases, and then we have two types. Actually, we have three types of database. We have a GIS database, we have an SOS database. We have an orchestration layer, which is mainly Django and Python. We produce WMS services that we deliver to the end users through OGC standards. We have an authentication service based on OAuth 2. So it's the software that we are using is for the backend part is Postgres SQL and PostGIS, map server for the WMS generation, Django and Drupal for. In the front end, we are using Angular, Leaflet, again Drupal. Everything is Dockerized and orchestrated with Kubernetes. So, as I was telling, it would be nice if I can log. I will try. I don't want to mess up anything, but I want to try to have a live demo. Okay, I'm. Because it's better to show if the internet is working, otherwise I have. Okay, I have a backup plan. No,
maybe,
don't worry, I have
maybe you can connect. See if you can find.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Accept. Okay, let's try. Okay. Let me log in. So we have, we are producing more or less 30 layers a day, which we are delivering through the web interface. And we are organizing layers in different categories, as you can see, flood summary layers, hydrological layers, initial conditions, flash flood, and a bunch of other layers, plus the static ones. Every layer, okay, we don't have any. Let me go back in time where every layer is produced twice a day, and we host historical layers, so we can go back in time up to 10 years ago. So if I'm going to a situation where we have maybe more floods, okay. So this layer here is the reporting points 2 years and 5 years period, which is the one used by the forecaster to issue notification. So how does it work? Every at 00 and at 12 every day, this layer is produced, is put into the interface, and then the forecaster is analyzing the layer. So through just clicking on a point, you can get all the hydrological information for the point. So we have the discharge hydrographs, the return period hydrographs, the upstream rainfall, and all kind of, and then the persistence table. So based on this information, the forecaster are analyzing the result of the model, and they can decide if they can issue or not a notification. Let me go back to the presentation. It's So as I was saying, we have the reporting points, which is points in the river network that are, which the threshold are two, one greater than 2 years return period, the other one greater than 5 years return period. The points can be queried. So these are already shown. Then we have flash floods reporting points, which where the we every day we are issuing a flash flood notification, because this the flash flood is much more difficult to be. I'm not an hydrologist, so I don't know how to explain it a little bit better. But this kind of notification, these kind of reporting points are really difficult to catch. So we have a different model to generate this, and they are produced twice a day, like the other ones, and the notification are issued again using this layer. This is the flash flood symbology, and this is the what you get if you query the layer. We have another type of layer. This is based on observation that comes from radar, and it's generated every 15 minutes, and it shows real-time, almost real-time precipitation-based analysis. And this is how it looks like. This we use a different approach to generate this. We have an in-house WMS service generator, which reading the NetCDF and is generating through the DACIM WF EC chart suite this layer here, which is an animation, by the way, so it can be animated, and the user can see how the precipitation are evolving. As I said, we are issuing notification. Notification are divided in three categories: formal, informal, and flash flood notifications. So these are the parameters that the forecaster are using to issue formal or informal notification. A notification itself, it's only an email that is sent to the partner. So the partner can check the forecast, can check the IFAS forecast, can check his forecast, and then they can decide if they have to take action. So IFAS notification are just, let's say, it's not, it's a helping tool. It's not like the official one. So it's up to the partner to decide if they want to take an action based on our notifications. If the criteria for sending notification are not met for the formal notification, the forecaster can send an informal notification, which means that, okay, something is going to happen, but it's not going to be maybe a flooding, but take care and monitor this particular basin. And then we have the flash flood notifications, which are the most, let's say, issued ones, because we have a lot of, especially during winter time, we have a lot of flash flood notifications. And the criteria are here, and these are issued based on administrative regions, not for basins. Plus, every day at 8 a.m., we are sending the flooding daily report to the Emergency and Response Coordination Center. So it's basically a summary of what had happened until the previous forecast. So the user that receives notification, what does it see on the web? You have the active notification that are listed, and for each notification you can get the notification that has been sent to the partner. So you have all these hydrological parameters and the name of the forecaster who issued the notification, so if the partner needs further more information. Plus, we can query on the notification itself. The forecaster has this, let's say, dashboard to check which are the notifications that are actually at the moment active, and they can decide if they can deactivate the notification. Once the notification is deactivated, it goes into this other panel, which is a summary of what have happened in the last day. And as I was saying, the partner that is receiving the formal notification has the ability and the possibility to give us back a feedback. So the feedback is then returned to the system, and we are calculating how well the system has performed. So how precise was the notification issued. So as you can see, we have a like a coloring system, so it means red, it's really bad, so that we issued a notification to a partner, but the flooding wasn't happening. And then we have a kind of a rating system to see how well we performed. The daily review, I don't think you can. Can you read it? Anyway, it's the situation what was happening before. So in this case, no formal notification was issued, and only a few flash flood notifications were sent to the partners. So this is what the European Emergency Response Center is receiving every day. Users, registered users, can have their own dashboard, so they can create their own viewers to check out, to monitoring the situation. And if I have time, I can show you how it works on the website. Sharing data. We are currently using OGC web services to share data within for partners and non-registered users. So we have two OGC services. We have WMS services for real-time and non-real-time data, and sensor observation services for post-processed reverse discharge. SOS services is only accessible by the partners, so they have to be registered, and then they will get a partner, and they will get a password. WMS services is also accessible from non-registered users. In this case, they will only have access to non-real-time forecasts, so only forecasts that are older than 30 days. But it's constantly updated, so if you connect today, you will get the forecast up to the 30th of July. We offer also a service for downloading the data. So we have two types of data download. One is through the climate, the Copernicus Climate Data Store, which is the easiest way to get access to get data. So it's simply you go to the CDS, you register, and then you can download the IFAS data. This, in this case, the data is available in GRIP 2 format or NetCDF. The other way is through the ECMWF has this huge archive of meteorological information, which is called the Meteorological Archival and Retrieval System, or MARS, which is a tape system. In this case, you need to be registered into the ECMWF within ECMWF to get the password for getting the MARS. And you need to have a little bit of programming skill to download the data. So these are the two ways of downloading our data. Of course, it's a raw data, so it's not the. But slowly we are now discussing with the partners if we can also provide the models and the data that we elaborated. So last but not least, we are currently looking for developers. And this slide is not exactly, it's not really correct, because the deadline is the 16th of September. So the date has been extended yesterday. So if you are interested, you can visit us at our booth on the main theater room, and you can get more information. I think I've finished. So if you have a...
Thank you for the presentation. Questions?
You thought using the feedback loop to train your model, like you show that you have a feedback loop based on the notifications?
We are using the feedback to train the modeler, not the model. So we are getting the responses, we are analyzing that. Well, the scientists are analyzing that and then they are training the model. But it's not an automatic process. Also because sometimes the feedback has to be, and it's an open questionnaire, so it has to be analyzed in to understand what was the. Plus we have a Jira system for which is every time you. I haven't showed. If I have just a second. When there is a point here, the forecaster or whoever is looking at the point can report an error for the point, which means that sometimes the data is not correct or so this is what we use to correct the issue. Sometimes the returning period are wrong or something like that. So we have this form here. Oops. And you can say which one was the main problem, or you can enter just what you want. And we receive whenever someone is entering this form, we receive a ticket. So we analyze it. So if it's a critical error, we tend to fix in. So we rerun if it's for example the model is outputting wrong data, we are rerunning the forecast and then we are publishing the new one. So it's almost in real time correction if it's a critical error.
Okay, thank you. I think we have to break here. We still have 4 minutes in order to change rooms. And we'll start with the second presentation at 9:30.